Parak Mem Vav, Pasuk, and by simple I mean obviously not at all. Parak Mem Beis, Pasuk Vav, it says the following. When the Shvatim went down to Mitzrayim, so what they ended up doing is they went to the first place they went to, over anywhere else. Where do you think? The first place you want to go to when you go to Mitzrayim? The pyramids, you know, the Sphinx, that'd be a great place to go. First place they went to was the Shukshel Zonos. That would be the mall. It's a marketplace full of bad people. Bad people. It's the first place I went to. Yonas ibn Uzziel quotes that down in the Pasuk. Parak Mem Beis Pasuk Vav. It went to the Shukshel Zonos before anywhere else. Why would they go there? Why would the Shvatim show up in the Shukshel Zonos before anywhere else? The answer is, Yonas ibn Uzziel says, because they were looking for Yosef and Tzadik. Yosef and Tzadik is this beautiful guy. He's got a great looking face. He's got all these things going for him. So they figured when they sold him down to Mitzrayim and they knew he was down to Mitzrayim, the first place he would go was the Shukshel Zonos. That's where he's going to hang out. He's not going to be anywhere else. He's just going to be a male Zonim. He's going to be that guy who everybody goes to, that he's a terrible person. So the first place they went to is the Shukshel Zonos. Yosef Atzadik sees that and realizes he's got a great plan, an unbelievable plan. You know, when the Yoshua sent him Miraglim into Eretz Yisrael, in Yoshua Perek Beis, you could have just started Nevi'im and you'd be there by now. Perek Beis, sent him to Miraglim. It's Pinchas, number one. Then he sends over a good guy by the name of Kalev. But no Kalev, you know Kalev. It's from the original Miraglim, Parshas Shlach. Yeshua sends them both in. They go into Yericho, and they're going to check out the land. The reason why they're checking out the land is because they're afraid that if they go into Eretz Yisrael, there's something that they don't know about. They want to check out Yericho. The first place that Pinchas and Kalev go to, Pinchas, Ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Elio Anavi, the greatest of the greats. You can't imagine such greatness. That's Pinchas. Kalev, somebody who was there with the Miraglim before, he's the one person who's Chayu Minal Nashim. He was able to be on such a level. Pinchas and Kalev. First place they go to, Rachav Azona's house. That's not a cool place to go. I mean, cool in a way, but it's not. I mean, that's just a strange place. What are they going to the Zonas for? The answer is that when you want to spy out a land, you want to know the secrets behind the land, where the government officials all hang out by the Zonas. So you hang out by the Zonas, not here, but everywhere else. You go to the place where the Zonos are. And if you go there, you're going to find out all the secrets because people are very open when they're in front of these girls because they don't think that they're going to say anything to anybody else because, stop, they don't think of them as anything. So the first place that Kalev and Pinchas went to was the Shukshel Zonos. They went to Rachav Azona. They found out all the information they needed. Rachav told them everything. Everyone's hearts are melted. Nobody wants to think about Klal Yisrael. Everybody's scared of Klal Yisrael. It was perfect for them. Absolutely perfect. And then Yosef Tzadik comes up with a plan. Yosef Tzadik understood that concept of going to the Shukshel Zonos. He looks at the Shvatim as they found them in the Shukshel Zonos, and he realized they were looking for him. And he realized they don't recognize him for whatever reason. They don't recognize him. And he says to himself, what could I do to not get them to ask questions? Because Yosef is white, and he's a land full of African Americans. And he's clearly that guy sitting on the throne with all these African Americans around. They're looking up and they're like, who's the white guy? Who is that boy? So, and they clearly look at him, and they see it straight on his face. He said, what am I going to do to get out of this? And he said, very simply, you guys are spies. They said, we're not spies. Then what will you do in the Shukshel Zonos? That's an awkward question. See, we had a brother, we sold him. It wasn't a good story. You sold him? Well, we kind of threw him in a pit first. Was it an empty pit? No, snakes and scorpions, couple. It's an awkward story. And he knew the Shvatim wouldn't say anything. Yosef Atzadik immediately called the Miraglim. Why did he call the Miraglim? It's that now that they leave, if they asked any questions, they'd look like they were better spies. So that way, he knew they wouldn't ask any questions, they wouldn't have any problems, and everything would be perfect. Such a plan. It was brilliant by Yosef Atzadik to call the Miraglim. And it got out of all the problems. It took care of everything. And now Yosef Atzadik can go ahead and try to fool them in the way that he did because it all worked out. Okay, but he's not Gorele. He looked strange to them. Does that make any sense to you? I mean, how does that work? How do you not recognize Yosef Atzadik? Okay, so the Ramban says that he had a mask on. Okay, so I can understand that. The Egyptians, have you ever seen the Egyptian hieroglyphics? You ever see what the pharaohs look like? All you have to do is go look it up online, which is, of course, us. But if you do, then you'll see, this is the kosher part, where you'll see that on those pharaohs, they always have faces. Their faces are like boxes and of hawks and everything. They wear these masks. So that makes a lot of sense. The Ramban says they didn't recognize Yosef Atzadik because he was wearing something on top of him. That's what it means by Yisnak Geraleim. He purposely made himself look strange to them so he wouldn't look like a normal person. That's number one. That's one answer. Number two, brought down by the Baal HaTorim. The Baal HaTorim says that Gabriel and Malach made him look strange. Gabriel and Malach made him look like something different. So they were looking at him, but they couldn't really see him. That's number two. Number three, the Tamim and Hagim, a sefer full of Hasidish stories and Hasidish halachas. It's a great sefer. One of the best farm I've ever done before in my life. I've gone through the whole thing tons of times. I have a shir on it. It's the best sefer ever. It's got everything in it. It's like the ADD book for kids. So here it is. The Tamim and Hagim says the reason why they snacker a lamb is because the tzaddikim, like the shvatim, wouldn't look at Rishayim. They wouldn't look at evil people. So they didn't even lift their eyes up. They didn't look at Yosef. They didn't know because they didn't want to look at his face. So Yosef and Tzadik realized they weren't going to look at him, and that's why he's not Karelim. He realized that he was strange to them. To them, he was an Ofri. To them, he was a strange person. To them, he was a nobody. So he realized that he could hide and he could do a plan. He could do something else. But Rashi, what do you look for? When you're trying to find out a pshat in the Chumash, you're trying to figure out what the Pasuk's trying to tell you, you immediately go to Rashi. What does Rashi say? He had a beard. I'm telling you, I met a lot of people in my days, and I'm saying this to explain Rashi, not to make fun of him. I met a lot of people from my high school years when they saw me, and they see me now. They're like, you know, you're a dead ringer for Tzvi Zimmerman, but the beard, you're nobody, you're somebody else. It's like the beard throws somebody off. Anybody here grow a beard before? I think everyone here is clean shaven. Is there a rule about that? Well, no, we got right there. Anybody look at you and be like, what happened to Yonah? I figured your name's Yonah. Anybody ever ask you that before? No. Why? Because the beard doesn't make you look that much different. And aside from that, if he had a beard, that means he looks like Yaakov Avinu. So they're looking up at the throne, they're like, whoa, is that Dad? No, can't be. Remember Yosef? Can't be. I mean, how is that an answer? He had a beard on, and yes, he left the house without a beard, and now he has a beard. That's going to make you not recognize him? How does that work? What kind of an answer is that? How do we understand Rashi? So I have two answers. Number one deals with the Gemara, Sukkah, Chaf Kas Amud Aleph. Sukkah, Chaf Kas Amud Aleph goes through the 80 Talmidim of Hillel HaZaken. Hillel, base Hillel. Hillel had 80 Talmidim. They say the Gemara says unreal things about him. The top 30 Talmidim were able to stand up the sun in the sky like Yoshua and Moshe Rabbeinu. Yoshua the Navi and Moshe Rabbeinu. The bottom 30, there were people that were full of Nebuah. There were people that had mamish and Nebuah. The middle, and this is at a time when Nebuah was already gone, a Ruach HaKodesh, I guess you can call it. The middle 20. Middle 20. Some say you can translate the Gemara a little bit differently. You'll see over there in Rashi, the top of them was Yonas and Benuzio. The bottom of them, the lowest of them, was Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. He's awesome. He's the one who went to Vespasian at the end of the Chorban Bayis Sheni, at the end of the second base of Mikdash. He's the one that went up to Vespasian and asked for the three big things. For Rabbi Tzadok to be healed. For Karen B'Yavneh, to be able to have that yeshiva in Yavneh. And for the third thing, for the idea of Klal Yisrael, the Shoshilta D'Davin Amel, for allow to Rabbi Yudah and Asi and everybody to go down. That's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. How great was Yonas ben Uziel, says the Gemara? The Gemara says, such an unbelievable accolade. It says, Yonas ben Uziel was so great that when he learned, birds that flew over his head burned up. Birds would burn up. That's awesome. So what do you think Hillel did? So if Hillel was learning, it'd be like buildings blowing up. It'd be like planes going over, like boom. Like all these crazy things, right? So what did Hillel do? The answer is, Hillel didn't burn the birds up. So it's a big deal, right? I could do the same thing. I've davened at the Kotel before. No pigeons have blown up in the top of my head. So I'm the same way. Hillel was so great, he was able to hold back his fire. Yonas ben Uziel, that fire, that this bren that came from him, as in the Yiddish word bren, that just came from him, that just went straight up to Shemayim. This just fire that burned up birds that went on top of him, that they couldn't take it anymore. What happened? Hillel? What was with Hillel? Hillel had the ability to hold it back, says the Ma'aril. Ma'aril Parshas Tzav. He had the ability to hold it back, to withhold it, so that it didn't burn up a bird. He could have, and he didn't. He let the bird live. That was the greatness of Hillel HaZaken. Yosef HaTzadik, he was a Tzadik Yisod Olam like no one you've ever seen before. No one. There's nothing like Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef was so great. What was so great about him? That he was such a Tzadik. Says the Sfas Emes, such a line. If you know Gera Rebbes, if you know Gera Chasidus, the way of the Gera Rebbes, all from Kutsk, is to say a line and to say it just in one line, just boom, to nail the guy. Absolutely nail the guy. Here's the line the Gera Rebbe says, that the Sfas Emes says. Says, Yosef Tzadik was so great, he made people think he was a goy. Made people think he was a goy. It's Yosef HaTzadok. We're talking about the greatest Gadol who has existed since the time of the others. The greatest. The Tzadik Yisod Olam. And Yosef HaTzadok was able to make it look like on the outside, he was just another guy. And not just another guy. He was just another Pharaoh. He was an Egyptian, just like everybody else. He made it look like he looked like everyone else. You couldn't see his greatness. That was the problem in the first place. The Shvatim look at Yosef HaTzadok and they didn't see anyone special. They didn't see anybody great. They saw a normal guy. They saw the appearance that Eliyahu Navi has when he appears to us. You ever go to the Kotel? Really bothered by somebody? Who says it's not Eliyahu Navi? Who says? Can I tell you what just happened to me? I was just speaking at a yeshiva called Birkas HaTorah in the Old City. So I had a little bit of time right before, and there was a bris there, random. So I was sitting, I went to the Ramban Shul to go sit and learn until we were done with the bris, and then I was going to go speak. So I sat down in the Ramban Shul. There was nobody else there, first time ever. And I was there, and there was one person sitting up front. This Nanach guy came inside, okay? He asked, where's the washroom? So I just like pointed up. I remember I lived here for a while. Pointed up that way. Came back down, however long later, came down, and he went up to the Aron Kodesh, kissed the Aron Kodesh, and I was in the midst of writing, learning, whatever. I had my Gemara with me. He comes right up to me and literally just puts his face right by me. And he says in Hebrew, he says, you realize that in the future, very soon, you are going to be embarrassed. So I'm just like, Ani Lamedka. Like, I'm learning here. I'm good right now. Thank you. So he's like, you're going to be embarrassed. So I'm like, Atatit Bayesh. That's what he told me. So I'm like, can you explain yourself a little bit? I'm just like, you know, Tadalacha, Ani Lamedka. So he looked at me and he's just like, you don't understand. For you making fun of us, and again in Hebrew, you making fun of us nanachs, we're the ikker. We're the ikker. So I'm just like, you're helping your kind right now. I said that in English. So what did he say back to me? He said, I can't stand dealing with you people in English, and then ran out. Did I really know that wasn't Eliyahu HaNavi? Maybe Eliyahu HaNavi is trying to send me a message. That I don't treat the nanachs with enough respect. Maybe it is. Maybe that is a little message. I have absolutely no idea. I hear him. I definitely hear him. I have absolutely no idea. The guy at the Kotel who really bothers me, do I really know that's not Eliyahu HaNavi? I have no idea. Yosef HaTzadok was the person who learned with Yaakov Avinu every single night. He learned unbelievable sodos HaTorah, secrets of the Torah, the likes of which we've never heard of, we'll never imagine, the likes of which we're never going to see. The sodos that eventually led to the Zohar being written, to Rav Shimon bar Yochai's sodos HaTorah, to everything we have with the Arizal. That's what he was teaching him. My Raya, he had Ksonis Pasim. You know what the Ksonis Pasim stood for? The word Pasim comes from those words that are written in your Birkas Kohanim. Anybody have the Art Scroll Sitter? You read during Musaf of Yom Tif or Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You see by Musaf, by Birkas Kohanim. You have those words and it says, this is what you say when you do Birkas Kohanim. And right there it says the word, it's got like these letters that don't have any nekudos under it. And it says, scan but do not read. You know what I'm talking about? You ever read it?
Not allowed.
Not allowed. You do read it? Get him, buddy. Anyway, but you know those words right there? It says one of those words is pei samach yud mem. The Ksonis Pasim was just Stama Technicolor Dream Coat, which was red and blue and orange as well. That's what it was. The Ksonis Pasim was a cloak. It was Kehilu, like he was surrounding himself with Kedusha, surrounding himself with the greatest, the holiest names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shem, the Chav Beis, the Shem that's 22 letters, the Shem Chav Beis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's so unbelievable what Yosef HaTzadok had, what he was given from Yaakov Avinu, what he was given over as a gift from Yaakov Avinu. That's what Yosef HaTzadok was. Yosef HaTzadok wasn't just a stama person, but he hid himself. He wouldn't let anybody see it. Wouldn't let anyone see it. That's why the Shvatim were fooled by Yosef HaTzadok. They couldn't believe that such a person is getting Nevuah. Such a person is going to be the king over all the Klal Yisrael. They couldn't believe such a thing. Because Yosef HaTzadok is no greater. He doesn't look any greater than anyone else. That's why they looked at Yosef and they didn't see Yosef. They saw an African-American Pharaoh sitting up on the throne. Sitting up on the throne, and that was that. That's answer number one. Number two, that's a Chasima Zakan. It's not the Zakan per se. What Rashi's trying to say to you by the beard is that the whole atzmus, the whole idea of what Yosef HaTzadok was impossible to see. You couldn't figure it out. You couldn't see him. He wasn't there. But I got a second one. Okay. If I said the words Joel Shuster and Jerry Siegel, you guys have any idea what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Superman,
very good. Creators of Superman. Tell like Jews, right? Doesn't get much better than Shuster and Siegel. I mean, it sounds like a law firm or DC Comics. One of the two. They say you don't get much better than that. Okay, so you got two guys who created Superman. They're Jews. It's no question they learned Gemara sometime in their life, because every Jew did, especially back then. And they might have thrown off the yoke a little bit, but they all learned Gemara. Okay, what in the world is the Havamina, the following? Whoa, where'd Rabbi Zimmerman go? He's no longer here. Someone took his place. It looks like him a little bit, but it can't be him. He doesn't have glasses on. But then you put it on, he's there again. All of a sudden, what's the Havamina? I grant you, it's a comic book, Rabbi Zimmerman. I know it's a comic book, but there's a Havamina here that Superman and Clark Kent were only differentiated by the fact that they were wearing glasses. That's it. So you couldn't think of a better idea? Can you imagine Clark Kent working in the Daily Planet, coming inside and holding a newspaper that says Superman saves the day again? Somebody looks at it and says, well, it sort of looks like it, but he's got glasses. I know nobody knows the real image of Superman, but it's clear it's not him. Who takes all the pictures of Superman again? Clark Kent? Can't be him. Can't be him. There's no way. So ridiculous. So ridiculous. So what's the Havamina? What was the Havamina of saying such a thing? Here's a shot. If you had Clark Kent with his glasses on, and he put underwear on top of tights, and he had a big S on him, I pretty much can guarantee you that the glasses don't mean a thing. You'll say, that's Superman wearing glasses. He's probably got a very low prescription. That's what you'd assume. The fact that he takes off his glasses isn't what makes him Superman. It's the fact that he's got the suit on. It's the glasses that finish off the deal. You look at Clark Kent with that clumsiness and the suit and the tie and everything like that, and he doesn't look like that Superman that you're seeing flying out all over the place. It has nothing to do with the glasses. The glasses just finished off the job, finished off the deal. It hid himself just a little bit. You know, it's not about the beard. You know what these guys look like? They used to put on mascara to move their eyes around a little bit. They used to dress themselves up. They used to print themselves up as the pharaohs. He looked different. He didn't look like the Yosef HaTzadik of old. The fact that he had a beard, maybe if he didn't have the beard and they remembered what Yosef HaTzadik looked like beforehand, then maybe they would have figured out, they would have said, wow, that does look like our brother from a long time ago. But now, with all the makeup and the fact that his beard was hiding most of his face, they couldn't figure out exactly who he was. Did he look like Yaakovino? No, because he had all the makeup on. Yaakovino never wore makeup. Never wore anything like that, we know of. Nothing like that. Yosef HaTzadik is the Pharaoh ward, the Chasima Zakan. Check out the words of Rashi. It's not the Zakan that made him different. It's the Chasima Zakan, the ceiling. The end of it was the fact that he had a beard. That's the idea behind what Rashi is trying to say. Okay, fine. So that's why Yosef HaTzadik was able, how he was able to hide himself. I understand that. Why hide yourself? What are you doing? Why not just say to the Shvatim who you are? Just tell them, I am Yosef, Oda V'chai, right in the beginning. You have to go through this whole charade. You have to go through this whole problem and everything out there for what? What was the point? And I know the answers that they give. I think I've had 8 answers that have been given to me over the past couple of years. The Shemi Shmuel is an answer. We have a famous answer from the Ramban. We have answers all over the place. Granted, they're all there, but there's got to be an explanation that just fits everything, that makes it understood why Yosef said it would do such a thing. Because I'll tell you honestly, it's a very, very hard part of the Torah to understand why Yosef HaTzadik would seem to do these types of things. And then start off with a pasuk. When Yosef HaTzadik sees them for the first time, it says, Vayizkor lahem, Vayizkor Yosef es chalomosam asher cholam lahem. Yosef remembers chalomosav, I think it is, his dreams that he had dreamed for them. Yosef remembered the dreams. He didn't remember the hatred. He didn't remember the pit. He didn't remember any of the bad stuff. He only remembered the dreams. What's pshat? The Ramban gives the answer, just doesn't explain it. The Ramban says the reason why Yosef HaTzadik did all this is to be mekayim the dreams, to accomplish the dreams that he had had. Okay, now let's understand, what were the dreams that Yosef had? The first dream was 11 sheaves of wheat. It's been last week. I don't know where you guys were for Shabbos. 11 sheaves of wheat. And 11 sheaves of wheat bow down to the one sheaf of wheat in the middle that belonged to Yosef. 11 sheaves of wheat bowing down. Okay? That was one dream. Second dream. The sun, the moon, and the stars were all bowing down to Yosef. By the way, you ever seen a round object bow? How does that work? Is it possible? Can you picture a circle bowing? How does it happen? How do you understand it? You all read it. Right? How does it work? Yeah.
Oh,
well,
in the Ozma Hadar, they have cool pictures in the back. So they showed like Yosef's, star, and they have all of them surrounding him.
I remember that picture. I drew it in second grade. They took it from me. Yeah, I remember that. But what does that mean, bow? They're not bowing.
To go down.
They go down. They lower themselves. The way that the Gemara says that the sun and the moon bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shekhinah that's in the west, they lower themselves in the west. That's exactly how it works. It's a good answer, though. You're two for two right now. So the sun and the moon and the stars all go down. They go down as they're going down. It's considered like the bowing. Sun and the moon and the stars bow down to Yosef at Tzadik as he was there in Mitzrayim. So what do you want to do? We wanted to accomplish the dreams. You know, the Shvatim thought that as well. That's why they took him, they threw him in a pit. Why did they throw him in a pit? Because if you throw Yosef at Tzadik in a pit, and then you look down at him, you're bowing to him. That means that each one of the Shvatim stood outside of the pit, and they bowed down to go see who Yosef at Tzadik was. Problem is, Binyamin wasn't there, and Reuven wasn't there. So because of that, they didn't accomplish everything the dream had to offer. Yosef HaTzadik wanted to accomplish the dreams. He had an idea. Bring down the Shvatim, and let them bow down to me, and that's the dream. But who made him in charge of accomplishing his dreams? Who made him? What Navi does that? You're given a prophecy, and then you try as hard as you can to make sure the prophecy happens? Why would he do such a thing? The answer is Pashit. Absolutely obvious. So obvious. Because Yaakov Avinu, according to the Medrash Rabbah, was supposed to go down to Mitzrayim in chains. They were supposed to chain him up, chains all over his body, and drag him down to Mitzrayim. That's what was going to happen to Yaakov Avinu. And Yosef HaTzadik said, I don't want that to happen. So the dreams were a nevuah. What was the nevuah? This is what you can do to get out of that gullus. Here's the idea. Yosef HaTzadik is in charge of all Mitzrayim. No one knows who he is. He's the king. When he dies, his son will take over for him. When his son dies, his grandson will take over for him. If the Jews never know who's in charge of the kingdom, that means that what will happen? The Jews will be in Gullus, the Eretz Lo Lahem. They'll live in Goshen their entire lives, live in a city far away. And a king, which they have no idea is Jewish, a king that's ruling the whole land of Mitzrayim, who really is a Jew, he's a grandson of Yosef, a son and a grandson and a great-grandson of Yosef, is going to be in charge, making sure that nobody oppresses the Jews. He's going to be a little harsh, so that they don't think that he's just a friend of the Jews, so they don't get close to him or anything. But Lamaisi, he's going to be a person who's going to save the Jews. And that way, the whole Golus will be a great Golus. It'll be 400 years without the Shibud. We'll never have to leave Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yom Tov and the Makos or anything like that. We don't need it. It's going to be 400 years of pure, pure bliss until they have to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Until they go back there. What an idea. Said Yosef HaTzadik, he came from the dreams. So how do I do it? I have to accomplish the dreams. I have to get all 11 brothers to bow down to me. After I get all 11 brothers to bow down to me, then I have to have the sun, the moon, and the stars. I have to have Yaakov and Bilhah and all the other Shvatim bow down to me. So how am I going to do that? He came up with a plan. He saw 10 brothers in front of him. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And he said to them, what's going on here? Are you 10 brothers and that's it? They said, no. Echad enenu, one isn't around. They didn't know where Yosef was, obviously. And Echad is still with his father. Binyamin is still with his father. So he said, get Binyamin down here. Get him down here. I want to see him. It was a perfect plan. You get Binyamin down there. You have 11 Shvatim bowing down. Then if he does a little ruse and makes sure that Binyamin stays in Mitzrayim, who's going to come down to Mitzrayim to negotiate his release? Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov Avinu is going to bring the whole family. And Yaakov Avinu will come down, and while they're down there, while they're there, Yosef HaTzadik will say to them, say to Yaakov Avinu, listen, why don't you just stay here? There's a Rav out there in Eretz Canaan. There's nothing bad going on here. Why don't you live in Goshen? Everything will be okay. And then he'll be perfectly fine. What a plan. He'll save the Jews. There won't be any Shibud. What a crazy, crazy plan. And it almost worked. Almost worked. He was able to get past most of it. He got Binyamin to bow down to him. He got all the 11 Shvatim to bow down to him. And as he grabbed Binyamin and said, I'm ready to go. You go get your father and tell your father to get back down here. Yehuda broke through the door. Vayigashe Lev Yehuda, which is next week's Parsha, broke down that door and said, there's no way you're keeping Binyamin. No way. You know what this fight was? Was it just Stama fight? This is Mashiach ben Yosef versus Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben Yosef tries to force the Geula. tries to bring out the geula as soon as he can, tries to hurry it, tries to bring the geula now. We want it now. Mashiach ben David waits. Mashiach ben David does it when it's time. Mashiach ben David, Yehuda's Mashiach, is an idea of Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of us. We'll all be fine. And when Yehuda did that, Yosef couldn't take it anymore. Lo yochol is apik, the pasuk says. He wasn't able to hold it back. He kept crying to and fro. He just wanted to see his father. You know how much it took for Yosef Tzadik to wait this long? He's been waiting to see his father for 22 years. 22 years. And now he's never going to think of the sacrifice, the most mysterious nefesh that Yosef Tzadik has to do here. He's never really going to see his father. He's going to see his father, but he'll never be able to hug him. We'll never be able to kiss him. We'll never be able to say hello to him ever again as Yosef. He's going to have to say hello to him as the king of Mitzrayim. He was willing to do it, but he kept crying. He kept not being able to take it. Until finally it boiled down to the fact that he really couldn't anymore. He broke down. He said, Ani Yosef Oda Vichai. And the dream was over. Yosef Tzadik still remained king. For the next 60 years or 80 years, depending on the Medrash in Mitzrayim, Yosef Tzadik was king. But after he died, Menashe was not put in charge. Once the Mitzrayim realized that it was a Jew, Yosef Tzadik, we hear. Menashe, not happening. Menashe's sons, not happening. And instead, there became a pharaoh who didn't know the Jews, who didn't remember that there was originally Yosef Tzadik because his kids didn't continue on in the kingdom. That caused Shibut Mitzrayim, that caused us to have Avdus for 86 years, the years of Miriam, the years that Miriam was around, that caused to have all these terrible things. But the point was, and what Yosef wanted to do, Vayizkor Yosef, not remembered what the Shvatim did to him, not the pit, not anything like that. What did he remember? Vayizkor Yosef es ha-chalomos, es chalomosav asher cholam lohem. He remembered the dreams that he had dreamed for them, and immediately, Vayiznakar Elov, he became strange. He put on that mask, so to speak. He pretended that he was somebody different because he understood, and as we all should, that there's always a plan of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world, and that dream was not just for nothing. In the end of the day, Yaakovino and Bila and the 11 Shvatim did bow down to him. They did at different times. Yaakovino bowed down to him toward the end of his life. He bowed down to Yosef Tzadik when he was there on his deathbed. But at that time, he wasn't bowing down to a sheaf of wheat that doesn't show who the guy is. When it's a sheaf of wheat, he's hidden. Nobody knew. When the 11 Shvatim bowed down to him, they didn't know it was Yosef. In the second dream, the sun and the moon and the stars, what did they bow down to? To Yosef, because they knew it was him. He tried accomplishing the dreams, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew in the first place it wasn't going to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in charge of the entire world. He knew this had to happen this way. He knew it was going to happen at the very end, but it was a plan. If Yosef Tzadik could have done it, who knows what our lives would be like right now? Who knows? All be living in Eretz Yisrael. There would have been no destruction of the two Batei Mikdashos. Who knows? But can you blame Yosef? You can't blame Yosef Tzadik. It's an unbelievable test, an unbelievable amount of mysterious nefesh that Yosef Tzadik had to go through to even plan to be able to do such a thing. Who knows? But it's just an unbelievable line. Most of that, if you want to look up Rabbi Schwab on this week's Parsha, he says a little bit of it. The idea, I kind of embellished on my own. Put in a couple rayas here and there. But that's the idea from Rav Shimon Schwab. Just know, aside from all this, what else do you want to say? It's such a thought, just a thought. Can you imagine the shock that the Shvatim got when Yosef Tzadik is sitting on the throne of Mitzrayim and they think he's an African-American king and all of a sudden he takes off the mask and he's like, I'm Yosef, Hoda Vichai. Medrash says they died. They died. They were just like, no way. No way. That cannot be. And they died. And then they had to kiss him. So far off to think, what if President Obama would take off the mask and all of a sudden, behind the half African American / half Hawaii / half Kenyan side of him, he would take off the mask and all of a sudden, it's a white Jew named Joel Schumacher, who used to live in Brooklyn. He used to live in Brooklyn. And she's like, I'm here. I am Yosef. I'm here to save the Jews. And he's just like, what? But we thought you were Arab. And he's just like, no, I pretended. That's what it was like. It was the shocker of a lifetime. The Shvatim couldn't imagine it. And when the Mitzrayim heard it, the Mitzrayim were just like, what? We knew he was white, but a Jew? Are you joking? That was the last thing we wanted. It's the last thing we ever thought of. But that's what it was like. It was such a shocker, such a crazy thing, such so unbelievable. He said to themselves, it can't be. It absolutely can't be. Are there any questions up until this point? Yeah.
How does this kind of work if Paro knew that he was a Jew? So if he was
Paro knew he was a Jew?
Yeah, he did.
How did Paro know he was a Jew?
Because the cupbearer.
The cupbearer?
Yeah, but when
all he knew is from the other side of the Jordan River. And in fact, that would even be, if you could allow me to suggest this, he did know that he was from the other side of the Jordan River. Who knows which side? Typically speaking, the people on the other side of the river, from Mitzrayim's point of view, would be on the east bank of the Jordan River. From Bavel and Aram Naharaim, where they were before, the Ivri was on the west side. So that would be someone in Eretz Canaan. Did he really know? I mean, granted, he did teach Lashon HaKodesh according to the famous Rashi. Then he learned the 70 languages from Gabriel, and he taught the 70 languages, and he knew Hebrew. Granted, he taught Hebrew to Paro in some way, shape, or form, however that works. So that would be able to tell you, oh, so he did know Hebrew, but it didn't mean that he was a Jew. He could have been Italian, could have been French, he could have been something else.
But he's told the cupbearer that it's all in the hands of God.
That es Elokim in Yireh. Notice that he keeps using the word Elokim as in a God as opposed to Yudke Vavke, which is not the shame that the others used. It's not a raya. You're correct. It's not a raya. I'm going to have to be metaritz those types of psukim because not a pure raya. But the idea is so clear within the psukim otherwise that you can easily answer those up and get around them. You had a question also?
Same
exact question. Wow. Guys, Kavrusis? No? Not working? Yes.
How can the Ramban hold that he had a beard? Everyone on the statues had a beard.
The statue, meaning the pharaohs itself.
Right.
You know, there's a very interesting... You ever heard of Derech Sicha? It's a sefer written by Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Talmud, Rav Elyon Mun. If you ever go into Rav Chaim Kanievsky, there's a Talmud of his who's there. I can't even say he's a Talmud, he's a Rav. But he's... Rav, Rav Elyon Mun, he's always there. The last time I went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, I went to Rav Aaron Lipsteinman for Vasikin. It was 4 years ago, I think. It was before I started coming on these trips. And I went 4 years ago for Vasikin. And then after Vasikin, after I finished with Rav Aaron Lipsteinman, I went to go see him, I got a bracha. Then I went straight to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, because he also davens Vasikin, but he davens in the shul. Rav Aaron Lipsteinman davens in his house. So I wanted to catch him right before he went inside. But he was already in, so I couldn't get in. So I just waited for Rav Elyon Mun to come, because I knew Rav Elyon Mun. He comes to Chicago once in a while. So when he comes to Chicago, I introduced myself to him. And I went up and I said, Ravon, is there any way that I can get into Rav Chaim? So he let me in. This happens to be the third time that I was kicked out of Rav Chaim Kanievsky's house. I've been kicked out twice before. But regardless, I went inside, got to speak to the Rebbezin for a little bit. Rebbezin sent me over to Rav Chaim, then got kicked out. He's like, what are you doing here? So that's all good. Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a sefer. It's called Derech Sicha. He never wrote it. It was written by Rav Elyon Mun. It's questions that Rav Elyon Mun asked Rav Chaim. The reason why I bring it up is because in this week's parsha, it's mashma. Rav Chaim Kanievsky said that there's two different perushim, whether he had a beard or he didn't have a beard. It seems that Rav Chaim Kanievsky was saying in the teretz that he was giving to Rav Elyon Mun about something else entirely, he was saying to him, it's in Derech Sicha number 2, not the first one, the second chelik. It seems to say Rav Chaim Kanievsky was trying to be metaritz that Yosef HaTzadik still had a beard when he was in Mitzrayim. And the obvious pshat, the pashut pshat, is that he didn't have a beard, as the pharaohs, none of them had beards. It seems to be very, very off. I'll tell you another thing that's very strange. Do you ever see Yosef being called Sofnas Paneach by anyone in Mitzrayim? Sofnas Paneach, which was his name given by Paro. You ever seen him being called Sofnas Paneach? No, he's called Yosef, right? Didn't the Shvatim realize we've got a guy in charge of the country? What's his name? Well, we keep calling him Yosef. Wouldn't that hit you? Wouldn't that resonate around? It's much a pellet, no matter how you look at it, that they didn't realize. One of the things that we pride ourselves on, three things that we didn't do when we were in Mitzrayim, although they come from two different midrashim. Three things that we didn't do. We didn't change our clothes. We didn't change our language. We didn't change our names. But Yosef did. Isn't that strange? That Yosef HaTzadik had a different name when he was in Mitzrayim? So lots of little issues that you can answer up once you start getting into it. But you got to have the questions. The questions have to be there. That it? All the questions done? Yeah.
I heard once that the reason why they didn't recognize him is that they didn't want to. Because the whole thing is that they wanted to deny. They tried believing that they killed him, believing that when they sold him, he's going to die. So when they got there, and they saw, we just said, I get the beard, it can't be him. Because all that they wanted to believe that it wasn't him.
So I hear the idea.
They can see, they use that
I hear the idea. In reality, do you think that really would work? If you I haven't seen your brother for 22 years,
ponder it. I think it could work.
22 years with the Shvatim. Remember, it's not like Joe Schmo off the street. It's the Shvatim who went down to Mitzrayim looking for Yosef. I mean, it seems a little strange that they wouldn't have recognized him because they didn't want to.
Okay, you think they do, but...
Yeah, they were going down there looking for him. So I hear it. I can hear the answer. I'm not going to argue on that answer. That could also work. Yeah.
Why would Yosef be next in line if he was second to the king? What about the king?
Every single time that there's a Mishnah Lamelech, eventually the Mishnah Lamelech takes over. You always have that throughout any country. Because eventually there's a coup. You know what a coup is? It's not just a word. A coup is when everybody stages an uprising. Because you want the guy who's more powerful and the guy who's in charge. That's the idea behind it. So, yeah.
What about the Midrash that Yosef revealed himself to Shimshon while he was in captivity? I mean, not Shimshon, Shimon.
To Shimon. Okay. I've never seen that Midrash inside. It possibly is a Midrash Rabbah that says that he revealed himself to Shimon. It seems very strange because all the others, the Sefer HaYashar, the Sefer HaDoros, to bring down the whole Meisim that happened when Yehuda came in by Yigash Elav Yehuda, is all mashma that Shimon is on Yehuda's side. Nothing to do with Yosef. Seems very obvious. There's a Chidah that says that all the Shvatim knew the whole time that it was Yosef. And that's why he's saying, Bi Aduni, Bi is Gematria of Yud-Beis, that we're all 12. There's a couple other Shvatim like that. But I haven't seen the Medrash inside, so I can't comment on it. I have absolutely no idea. That's something that someone much better than I will have to answer. All right, for that, what time we got? It is still 10-2. I'm going to let you guys go. I'm going to just tell you a little bit about, you know, what I'm doing here. My name is Steve Zimmerman. I probably should have